Hello, everybody. Welcome to Lee and Haley Overtime, the podcast. I'm Lee Cruz, along with Haley Harmon.
Yes, yes, yes. And my unborn son is joining us, as he does each and every week, as he has for the last several months. And I think he's the most important member of this podcasting team.
He kicked you so violently this morning, knocked you right out of the chair.
No.
I've never seen that before.
It was unbelievable. I was sitting in this chair. He kicked so hard to the left, I went flying. No, before work today, I got my nails done because, ladies, you know when you get to that desperation point of your nails where you've gone a little too far between getting them done? So then finally, I got a last second appointment this morning before work, thank God. And now I feel, like literally, I feel so much better. Anyway, well, the baby... Because it was morning, I just had breakfast. And whenever I eat, he's very active right after.
You've injected fuel.
Yeah, because of my blood sugar's up. So he's in there like, bada bing, bada boom. Mm-hmm. Well, he's moving so much and he's so big now. It presses on my bladder a lot. And certain times when he moves, literally I have to clench so hard to not tinkle on myself. Yes. So she's doing my nails and I'm trying to zen out. And a couple times I had to be like, oh. Because, I mean, literally, I really think he's in there and thinks it's one of those punching bags.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I call Lee to say, hey, I'm so sorry. I'll be at work in a few minutes. I'm running a little late. My nail appointment took a little longer than I thought. And I tell him that. I said, the baby was moving so much. I had to clench. He goes, well, I thought you were going to say he was moving so much. He launched you out of the chair. And I said, imagine I'm getting my nails done. And suddenly, like it looks like the invisible man has pulled me out of the chair.
Right.
The baby just kicks and I just go flying.
Right. You just run out the door without paying the check.
That's right. That's right. But he is.
There you go. It's the baby. Your arms are behind you as your legs are.
The baby will let me pay. But I don't think I mentioned it on the TV show, but I told all my coworkers, obviously, last week when I went for my latest checkup, because I'm 7 months pregnant now. And so.
What do they do with these checkups? Is that just ultrasound mainly? They do blood work? What do they do?
Every appointment is a little different.
They don't do a peek-a-boo, do they?
They will eventually.
Well, when you're giving birth.
Yeah, but and in the appointments.
They do?
Well, not
right
now, no.
They take a look?
No, not right now.
Like, you know, like, hello, hello.
They dress like minors, M-I-N-E-R-S, and with a headlamp. Okay, and I say, no need to name call. I'm married. No, every appointment is different. But to answer your question at this one, no, there was no peek-a-boo or whatever you said, peek-a-boo. It wasn't.
Well, they stop doing that, don't they? I mean, once they know you're pregnant, there's no need to look around in there.
Yeah,
is there?
What are they looking for?
I don't know.
Eventually, as
I
get closer
time,
and closer,
I guess.
As I get closer and closer to delivery, they will start checking to see if I've started dilating and things like that.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. Don't I know it?
Yes. They used to do that to me quite often.
Did they? Wow.
See how much I dilated.
Yeah, sure. And they always meant your eyes because it was the eye doctor, but you'd always pull your pants down.
I always had my pants off.
That was weird.
And my feet on his shoulders, which is odd.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have stirrups at the, what's it called? Lens Crafters.
Which I found incredibly inconvenient.
Oh, God.
But anyway, so at this last appointment, it was an ultrasound, which any pregnant mom knows, especially first-time pregnant moms like me. Every time I get an ultrasound, I get so excited because I'm so delighted to see him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know he's fine because every checkup goes good and they tell me everything and his, you know, heartbeat. But it's so exciting to see him. And anyway, but this last time they told me he's, and I quote the ultrasound tech, wow, you're growing a chunker in there. He is
which
big.
You love because you love a fat baby.
I love a fat baby.
A chunky baby. You love those.
My grandmother, now deceased, she passed away a few years ago. My granny, my dad's mom, mm-hmm. She loved a fat baby because the era she grew up in, a fat baby was a healthy baby.
Sure.
So
I think that's still true.
Yeah. But there are babies every baby is different. You know, there's some babies that are just smaller, you know,
to
at
me,
birth,
though,
but also are just thinner framed.
You want all babies to be healthy, and maybe you're right. There's different
just
definitions.
Just like humans.
But I prefer.
I mean, just like humans. I mean, adult babies are humans. Yeah. I meant adults. Anyway, go ahead.
I prefer a fat baby.
Yeah. Well, literally, when she said that, and it was just so funny, the first person I thought, oh my
was
gosh, I got to tell Granny. She will love this mm-hmm. to hear that he's fat. So I wish that I could tell her. And I just wish she was here for this experience. Mm. You know, my family is so excited. And she, you know, everyone when my grandmother passed was like, you know, when she got my older sister, myself, and my brother, we were her only grandchildren. Everyone was like, you guys were the light of her life. Like, her grandchildren were her world. And so I just know she would be so happy. And I know she's looking down and smiling. And I know
she's excited. I'd gladly trade places with her.
You'd go to heaven and bring her back anyway.
So she can see your chunky baby.
She can see my chunky baby. And I know she is seeing him. So anyway, Granny, I hope making you proud. But anyway.
Well, you're not. But the baby will.
But the baby will make her proud. So, but yeah, everything's going great. He's measuring, yeah, quite a bit ahead of percentile range and where he should be weight-wise. He's very healthy, but they said, yeah, they were like, and just keep doing whatever you're doing. Whatever you're doing's working.
Tell my favorite story about your grandmother, the one where she thought it was your dad.
Wait a minute. I'm having to remember. She was in a nursing home. She had a roommate. Oh, yes. Wait, you're going to have to help me.
Okay. She had a roommate.
I had to remember the lady's name, and I've got it now.
Okay.
But you're going to have to help me. I can't remember exactly how it went.
Well, apparently the lady went to the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
and your grandmother said, Perry,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then climbed over and got in bed with her and started petting her hair or something, right?
That's right. My grandmother was having one of those. She was very old at the time and not in great health. She was having a vivid dream, mm-hmm. and thinking that my dad was in the room with her.
Right.
Her only son. And yes, that's right. And she was comforting him and rubbing his head and thinking she was comforting him. She said, oh, Perry, comforting. And then later... Gosh, I'm going to blow this. They end up saying, sorry, guys, this is the worst storytelling. You threw it on me. Anyway, she's rubbing him, and she said, are you okay, Perry? She said, I'm not Perry. And she said, well, who are you? She said, I'm Evelyn Green.
That's right, Evelyn Green. Yeah, I'm not Perry. I'm Evelyn Green.
And Granny was loose enough. She could told us next time we visited her. She said, I was so embarrassed. I guess I was dreaming. I thought it was your dad. So I was taking care of him and loving on him and petting him. I got over to his bed and then I said, Perry. She said, I'm not Perry. I said, well, if you're not Perry, who are you? I'm Evelyn Green. I told that on the show years ago when that happened.
It's on the YouTube channel.
Okay, we've got to look it up because I'm butchering it or changing details that are, it was so funny. But the name Evelyn Green.
Yeah.
But yeah, my granny, Miss Julia, my grandmother had the most beautiful name. She was born in 1925 and her name was Lily Julia.
Oh, I like that.
Isn't that beautiful? I'm mm-hmm. having a son, but I thought if I ever had a daughter, you know, you pull names from family sometimes if it's sentimental. I thought I would pull that exact name. Like mm-hmm. if I had a daughter, I would name her Lily Julia and probably call her Lily Julia. Because I just think it's so beautiful.
You know, my grandmother, Miss Julia.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. To quote... She thinks Lee is the most handsome man she's ever seen.
Oh, forgot about that detail. She did have a big crush on Lee.
She's seen his picture, though, and thinks he's very handsome. She tells me.
Well, we better not meet because the chemistry is off the charts.
It'll be off the charts. You'd be my grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
Let me get her on the horn because that would be a delight. Did you hear? Lee is with Haley's grandmother now. Anyway, so I told you guys yesterday, I believe.
I don't know, but it looks like
Julia suffered a fall recently.
First year, something like that, I think. So.
She is 95 years old, and they're getting her back in top shape, and she's doing really well. Just spoke with her yesterday. But she was cracking up, and she said, I've got a story for you and Lee. And I said, okay.
You're going to hear it again, but the way it should have been told.
This will be way
better. Tell it right, because Lee will appreciate this. And I said, okay. She said, how is Lee, by the way? I was like, all right, dial it back, Granny.
She said, what's his number? I never get to talk to
him. I never get his phone number. Don't call me here.
What do I got to do?
Room 106.
Yeah.
Anyway, I said, oh, okay. She said, I had the weirdest experience last night. And I said, well, what happened? She said, well, I woke up in the middle of the night and, you know, they haven't let your parents, my mother and dad, come see me, obviously, because of COVID rules. But last night they let your dad come in. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
2020.
She said, yeah. It was in the middle of the night. And I was like, really? She said, yes. And he gets up and he did have long hair. And my dad has very short hair. She said, I wake up and he's in the room. My roommate, she has a female roommate, wasn't there. She was gone, and now your dad was there. And I said, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she said, he gets up, and I say, well, what are you doing? And he says, well, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I said, please be careful and don't fall. She said, and it's about this time I notice he has very long gray hair, which your father has gray hair, so I assume that it is him. I think, my God, what has Ann done to him? That's my mom. She says, your father goes to the bathroom, comes back out, gets in the bed. I get out of my bed and think, well, how special it is that my son is here with me. I'm going to tuck him in.
No.
So she goes over to the other bed in the room. She says, I, you know, tuck in the blankets and everything. I lean over and I kiss him on the forehead. And I said, you're so sweet. You're my little baby. She says, well, this time, your father turns over and looks at me and says, what? And I said, wait a minute. What's your name? And your father says, Evelyn Green.
That's it.
Yeah, that was it. We should have just did that from the get-go.
Yes, because we got a couple of moments with that. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for that recovered memory. That just made me so happy. My granny was so hilarious like that.
I found it easily because it's called Evelyn Green.
It's just called Evelyn Green on our YouTube channel. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Gosh, COVID rules. Remember all that. But yeah, my granny ended up passing in 2022 or 2023. And she was just such a special lady. My brother always credits her as one of the strongest Christian influences in his life. In all of our lives, she was such a strong woman, but such a strong Christian woman as well, influenced us all very toward the Lord. So it was wonderful. And I actually, when she passed, I helped my dad and my mom, and we all kind of did clean out her house and stuff like that. And she had, she was one of those people, if she had a Bible, it was the most worn thing because she used it so much. Mm-hmm. And then she'd keep them as they got used. Well, she saved three Bibles of hers, mm-hmm. that some of them were held together with duct tape for mm-hmm. myself and my two siblings. No. Well, I have all three of them.
No.
And each time I see my siblings, I'm like, oh, shoot, I meant to bring you your Bible. And I really did. I'm not trying to keep all three of them. One of them, she wrote my name on the very front of it in Sharpie. Mm-hmm. And then the other two, yeah, and they just, they're just
on the cover?
Yeah, it's just on the, you know, as you get older, you just, you know, it's not about aesthetics. It's covered in duct tape.
Yeah, I don't.
But anyway, every page she wrote on, every page is wrinkled. Mm-hmm. Like, talk about a person who poured themselves into God's word. Mm-hmm. So those are heirlooms. That is what I would save in the event of a fire. Literally, I would run to my closet where all three of those Bibles are. Mm-hmm. We had a leak in our roof a few, I'd say maybe 6 months ago, and they're in a box in my closet, and we had a leak in our roof, and water got into the closet, and my first thought was, if those Bibles, I mean, mm-hmm. take all my clothes, I don't care.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a shame you two were never able to be together.
Yeah, sounds like we were perfect.
Yeah.
For one another.
Because your nickname is Evelyn Green. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you all for allowing me to go
that was
on
me
that story
that.
Time.
With well, I'm Evelyn Green.
Evelyn Green, you tore off your wig and said. Yeah. Anyway, thank you all for letting me go down that memory lane and story time about my precious, precious grandmother.
Well, you really didn't ask us. You just did it.
You're the one who made me tell that story, and then you pulled up the video.
Yeah, I should have done that.
And I thank you for it.
Right off the bat.
Well, what's going on with you?
You know what? I figured out that today is the first day that I feel whole. From flying. I suffer traumatic pressurization.
I forgot about this.
My equilibrium.
When you fly,
it's not so much my equilibrium. Yes, on descent. I'm fine on the way up. I'm fine at altitude. But as soon as we start to descend, all of a sudden my head is like in a vice. Mm-hmm. And I've read about it. I've had people give me advice.
About it, right?
I had to go to a doctor once. I landed in Orlando. I had to go to the urgent treatment center. I was in such pain.
Yeah.
And I can't clear. And I do remember when I was a baby, I had like an eardrum burst and eustachian tube issues. Like I would cry.
You were
and
old
cry.
Enough that you remember it?
I was told about it.
Oh, okay.
You know, my mother blamed my father for not taking me to the emergency room soon enough and my eardrum burst and.
Oh. All poor little stuff. Lee.
Yeah, because I would cry all the time because my ears were killing me.
I bet. Ear pain is
and
horrible.
So I don't know if that, if that's a residual thing.
It could be.
But I used to be able to fly and it didn't bother me. But now, so and I'm chewing gum, I'm eating whatever I can, I'm swallowing, I'm trying to clear, you know, where you pinch your nose and blow.
Mm-hmm. Nothing
well,
works.
Not my nose, but I'll pinch someone's nose and blow.
You know, you're not a doctor. You're doing the best you can. So have you gone to the doctor about it? Or you have doctor buddies? Or Dr. Ryan Stanton, who is an ER doc that comes on our show, that you guys are friends. Have you talked to him about it?
Well, what I do now, I buy a bottle of bourbon. Bottle of bourbon. And
pour a little in each ear.
And I demand to actually fly the plane.
You're like a kid that's afraid of flying that they let come up to
see. I mean, what's the difference? We're Southwest. Am I right?
Hey, I love Southwest.
So do the bartenders.
Sure.
Anyway, no, I what's the stuff you spray up your nose?
Afrin. Don't.
Get hooked.
Yeah.
I'm hooked.
Nate Bargatze is addicted.
Yeah.
No, his dad is.
He's been using it for 40 years.
He said, if you don't know what Afrin is, honestly suggest you don't get involved.
Yeah. No, I keep it in my travel bag now, and I...
Does that help?
Well, I just started this.
Oh, okay.
So I think it helped a little bit. I think
so
I was...
when you flew on your vacation, you went to Florida.
On the way down, I was miserable for another day.
Okay, it takes a whole day.
To sort of clear.
For it to kind of open back up and feel normal. Okay.
Because everything sounds like I'm underwater. I'm like, what? That's what it sounds like. The whole world sounds that way to me.
Really?
Yes.
That sounds awful.
Until like a day later and it kind of opens up, like I'll yawn. And that's the other thing. I try to make myself yawn and I just suffer with
it. How do you make yourself yawn?
I listen to your stories.
Walked right into that one.
You sure did. We got a guy here that looks just like Jerry Springer.
We really do. A guy that works in another office here in our office building. And every time we pass him, Lee always goes,
Jerry.
To him. No, I don't. But to me. He will never say it to that man's face.
He literally could be his brother. I mean, truly, they're identical.
If you were like, that's Jimmy Springer, I'd be like, yep. Well, okay. So then same thing. Then you fly home. Same issue.
It wasn't as bad because I really amped up on the chewing gum and the Afrin.
And does that mean?
Then I had the Afrin. So I didn't break it out because I was too busy watching a movie or something. But
well, the pain must not be that bad.
It doesn't. I don't think about it until descent. And all of a sudden, here it comes, like the vice grips on my ears. And went, oh, no.
So it feels like a ton of pressure.
Yes.
And then
on the way down.
And then it just stays. It's not like once you're on the ground, it goes away.
No, and there's no popping, clearing. It just, I stay muffled for another day.
And you.
But it has been so bad at certain times, like it's almost like an ice pick in my brain. Like it hurts that bad. And that's when I went to the ER.
Forget crying as a baby. I'd cry now if that was me. So you have gone to the ER for it.
Yeah. And the guy, I don't know.
And you say, come quick, is there an ice pick in this ear?
He gave me an antibiotic, which I'm like, what's that going to do? But I took it.
Because I love an antibiotic.
Oh, my God. I'm a fan.
Are you? Okay. Well, so the Afrin you do preemptively or you do it when the pain starts?
Well, I think I'm going to start doing it preemptively. Okay. I keep it in my little travel
bag.
So you and then
bought it, but you actually didn't use it on the trip.
But I don't even do that right. I'm not good with... I would be a horrible cocaine user. There is no way I could snort...
That is so embarrassing.
No, if I'm ever at a party where they're doing coke, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing lines, but not me. I can't do that. I can't put anything in my nose.
I think there's no shame in not being proficient at using illicit drugs. I think it's okay.
I would feel like I'm drowning.
Yeah, nothing about snorting anything sounds good.
I don't think that's
me.
A good idea.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, there are other people that might disagree, and honestly, your life is your life.
And this is how much I would hate doing that. I would do the other thing I hear some of the college kids do, where they go the other end.
Butt chugging.
Yeah. I would butt chug before I'd snort anything. I'm not doing any of this, as we know. I'm a clean, living son
you
of
are.
A gun.
Yeah, you've never
except for
done.
The caffeine.
Yeah, well.
And the alcohol, I guess.
Yeah. But we as a society have agreed that one's okay.
Yeah.
And
the hallucinogenics, of course.
Oh, right. Of course. Yeah. But that's just you get up in the night and don't remember where you are.
Right.
Oh, where am I? That is such a weird feeling when you wake up and you're just, you know, like the first night you're staying somewhere else. And if it's a really dark room.
It didn't take me long to figure that out.
Well, me neither. But
I'm not saying Evelyn Green.
Here we are at the retirement home.
No, I know pretty cool. I mean, I do. I have that moment like, what Oh, yes.
Me too. It's that quick.
And that's usually a happy thing.
Well, when I wake up, and especially now because I do have to TT so many times in the night, when I wake up and have to do it, I kind of lay there a minute and I'm fighting the feeling because I don't want to do it. And then I envision and tell myself, like, it's just a few steps to the bathroom.
You hear REO Speedwagon in your head? And I just can't fight this feeling anymore.
No.
I gotta go on the floor.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Now that I go back, you think squeezing a nasal spray is the same as snorting cocaine?
I don't like putting anything in my nose.
You also don't like putting anything in your eye.
Oh, I don't like that either.
You like the few times you've needed eye drops for whatever reason.
I have to have three guys hold me down.
Seriously, I think Kelly had to hold your eyelids open. I think Nua held your arms back, and then I just had to squeeze it.
It's unnatural.
But see,
I know you put stuff just for fun. Let me touch my eyeball. I was like, what? Stop.
Just for fun?
Yes, you'll put the applicator directly on your eye.
Which they say don't do, so don't do that. I do that sometimes, and I don't really mean to. I don't know. I just like to know
what's
in there.
God's name, when I have to do an eye drop, it's like from 5 feet away. Seriously. I hold it way up high.
You do, and that's why you always end up with it on your cheek.
Oh, yeah. It looks like I've been crying.
It is. No, I was like you when I was in seventh grade when I got contacts. When I first got contacts, putting them in and taking them out every day was a federal case. I would cry. My mom would have to help me. The very week after I got them, I had to go to church camp. And one of my friends, she had them. She had to help me put them in and take them out every day because it was so... I hated touching my eye. It freaked me out. I thought it was horrible. Well, then after I wore contacts and glasses for 15 years before I got LASIK. So it's just touching my eye became literally nothing to me. So that's why I'm so chill about it. Because I was born with bad eyes. What do you think they did in Bible times? Did people have bad eyesight in Bible times?
I'm sure.
Because so many of us have glasses and contacts. Well, I think about stuff like this. Problems that we can handle now.
Not only do they have bad eyesight, they had something called blindness.
Well, I know, but it's not like they could swing to the optometrist in Jerusalem back
then. But there wasn't a lot of road signs. So it's not like you're going to know your eyes are that bad.
Well, you're going to know that, like, Lee, my eyesight was so bad. Like, right here is where it would get blurry for me. I'm not exaggerating.
Sure, but you don't know any better.
Have to assume everybody else is seeing better.
You don't know that. How do you know that?
Well, I don't know that.
Right.
Okay.
It's not like you're driving a car. I mean, sure, there may be a sign on a establishment or at the synagogue or the temple.
Well, let me just say this. I'm glad I wasn't Mary Magdalene and the other women when Jesus first appeared after the tomb, because I would have said, sure if it was him.
Well, maybe you're onto something.
Is that why they were like...
You know, they didn't recognize him. Maybe they all had bad eyesight.
I would have been like, I don't know, he was 3 feet away. I really didn't get a good look.
All right.
I mean, truly.
After the resurrection, they couldn't see him that well.
I mean... Yeah.
There was
I
no
think
lens.
About stuff like
there was
this.
No lens, no Jerusalem crafters. Where you go get eyeglasses.
Here at Eye Care of Galilee.
Have you missed the Messiah? Well, here at Jerusalem.
I think you saw Jesus, but not quite sure.
Galilean eye doctors. Well,
here at Specs by Samuel. Let's come up with Bible Time Eye Care Center names for the rest of the podcast. Mm-hmm.
I go, where do you work out at Samson's?
Here at Mary's Must Have Frames. Right. So stupid. Anyway, but no, what's another problem? Like, I think how lucky we are to live in this day and age that we just, if there's a problem with our bodies that really is so common, like eyesight or dental care, that now we just, you know, if it's not cost prohibitive, we all just get it taken care of. There's people that do it.
No.
But in other... If we'd been born in a different era, it's like, did you just suck it up? Like,
well,
what if there was no Afrin?
To make it to 35. I wonder, in the Rubenesque period.
You always bring up the Rubenesque.
Well, because I wish I was there. Because I'd be the Brad Pitt of the Rubenesque
but
era.
But did Rubenesque, I thought it just applied to women.
No.
Were there Rubenesque men?
100%.
When I think of Rubenesque like art, I think of like women, full-figured women. We are gorgeous.
No, it signified wealth. Look how fat I am.
Oh.
I can eat whenever I want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unlike you peasants who are so skinny and fit.
That's right, that's right.
But I wonder if the peasant women didn't like stuff their brassieres and underpinnings with hay. to try to, you know, like the way right now they'll do lip filler and all that nonsense women do. I wonder if they stuck hay and, I don't know, goat cheese.
Goat cheese?
Down their corset to look inflated around the midsection. Or dudes, too.
Sure.
Instead of putting the potato in the front.
Rubenesque. It's an adjective. Characteristic or reminiscent of the paintings of Rubens, especially with references to his voluptuous female nudes. Yes. A Rubenesque woman reclines on her chaise lounge. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, now women, yeah, it's like now we try to get that full, plump look on our faces. Yeah, back then she's like, honey.
Well, you could take a girl home and pull off her gown, and it's nothing but hay. She's skinny as all get out. What happened? I thought you were Rubenesque. I've been fooled again.
And what would she say when you disrobed?
Right now?
Just as you... No, back then.
Oh, back then. That's what I mean.
I think you would really lean into that lifestyle, because you're a wealthy, attractive man, so you'd be...
I am neither.
That's the spirit. Excuse me for driving Bill.
But if I could transport...
Lee, middle class is pretty wealthy.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that. I'm lucky to be an American.
I'm not saying like, oh, which yacht will I get on this weekend? Yeah, my blue one or my red one?
I'm just not the 1% of the 1%.
Okay, we're not saying you were King Henry VIII's best friend.
There you go. There's a big boy right there.
Too big at the end.
He exploded at the end. He was so big.
That's not what I want for you. I gotta say.
I don't know. That's a great way to go. An explosion at the end. Boom.
But I don't think that's how he died. I think his casket, he was so bloated. And
they couldn't get him out there, I think. Didn't his casket blow up, too? They couldn't. They put him in a piano case or something.
I don't know. I think he was not a great guy, so I don't really care what happened to him.
Oh, soul to the earth. Guy. He just had a lot of women issues. Yeah. I mean, these women and their barren bodies.
Are you going to put something else in there?
I couldn't figure out what I was trying to say.
Man, he'd be so...
Didn't he have syphilis or something, and that's why he couldn't get them pregnant, and he was blaming them?
I don't know what
he was a real piece.
But then some of them had kids. He did have children.
Did he?
I think, but then his... You know, those idiots back then, they were like, she won't give me a son. And the shock they'd feel now that it's proven men determine the sex.
Yeah, Anne Boleyn.
Poor Anne Boleyn.
Yeah.
Poor all those women. And he's eating bonbons and ding-dongs till he explodes in his casket.
Yeah.
The story of men. If you could go back to the Rubenesque period, or I don't even, or whatever period you're discussing, where, yeah, chonkiness meant wealth, what are the foods you'd indulge in?
What's there?
Turkey legs.
Sure, like Henry VIII. I think that guy ate a lot of turkey legs. I love a turkey leg.
Because, I mean, at feasts and stuff, they have all these fruits and veggies. I don't see him popping grapes and being like, oh, yeah.
I used to walk around Disney holding a turkey leg. That was my thing. But then I realized I got to have salt because it gets very bland after the second bite.
The outside layer, yeah, is where all the flavor is.
Yeah, and yeah. You're just eating turkey with no salt.
Mm.
Yeah, so I figured out how to get salt packs and walk around and point out things.
Yeah.
And using the turkey leg as a pointer.
Oh.
Look over there.
Oh. What's your favorite food to get at, like, let's say Disney? Is it a turkey leg? Like a walk-around food? Like for me, I've never been to Disney, so I always think of like a county fair. Mine is a big-ass corn dog. The biggest
corn dogs.
Or a Mexican street corn. Equal
I
in
love
length.
Corn dogs.
But it's got all the stuff on
I
it.
I love Mexican street corn.
So good. Mexican street corn.
What's the proper name for that? Starts with an A.
Elote.
Oh, an E, yeah. Elote.
Yeah, elote.
I love elote. Yeah, I like all that stuff. I like funnel cake on occasion.
I do, too.
I like a...
You got a deep fried Oreo at a county fair?
No, see, now we're getting... I don't like that when you're doing these Frankenstein deals.
You dip it in chocolate sauce?
You take
it's
a
basically
Twinkie
a funnel cake
and deep
with an
fry
Oreo inside
it. I don't like that.
Okay, well, more for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a Rubenesque portrait painted
later. It's a novelty and a gimmick. I don't want that.
One time, was it at the fair where I went to? Or was it just on the news, some county fair had deep fried butter? You could just buy what was a stick of butter that then they rolled in dough and fried it. So
they put you on a gurney?
So many people died.
With the ambulance door open, ready to shove you in as the coronary event took place?
I want to say it's at like one of those famous state fairs, like Minnesota or one of those, like something like that. And it was like... What are the deep fried options?
Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. One of my cousins just moved there because he bought into a business with a buddy, and we all were like, Minnesota? Mm-hmm. Because they're from Dallas, Texas. So imagine the weather change they're experiencing this winter when it comes. Whew. God bless you.
You want to get to do we have any questions? We got one from – no, we got several. Here we go. You ready?
Ready. This is from our staff. These are icebreaker questions.
If each of the staff members had a superpower, what would they have? Okay. Nikita would be called the ghost. Where is she? Oh, she was just there. We had plans, and now she's no longer here.
Mm-hmm. That's your big beef
she
with Nikita,
ghosted.
Is that she...
It's a long-running beef, and it aggravates me.
I know, you were complaining about her to all of us. She was the only person not in the room yesterday.
Because she
made plans with you...
Purposefully.
Then...
Trolls me and teases me. Because it was Margarita Monday, and I said, let's go. She goes, well, I'm not driving all the way over there. I said, okay, fine.
Let's go somewhere nearer to your neighborhood.
I said, but this is the place where it's half off. You don't want to go. And then nothing. Next thing, she's on Instagram, sends me a reel of a place on her side of town that does half off. All right, okay, I'll meet you over there. Next text, I'm out.
When she's the one who sent the Instagram video.
I'm out.
You're like, out of what? You made plans with me.
She's done that 1,000 times.
And what does she say when you confront her of stop dangling this carrot of friendship in front of me?
She just makes the face and with her tongue out goes, bleh, because that's indicated I was drinking. So I'm not held accountable for anything that happens once alcohol passes my lips.
Oh, okay. But this was middle of the day on Monday.
Right.
She wasn't drinking.
Well, I don't think.
Her excuse was, I'm out. I have to work. She has another job. She does work from home for that job, but she had stuff she had to do. Lee, what?
Really?
Fine. Imagine if one of our employees was like, yeah, I didn't get any of that work done. I got invited to Margarita Monday with one of my friends, so I didn't do any of my work.
Well, if they were one of my siblings, I would take care of that.
Oh, because she works for her brother's company, he should just let her not do...
No, she should. What's she been doing all day?
Working this job.
No. No, she wasn't. No, because she took her daughter to get driver's test.
Now you're mad she has children. Nikita,
yes,
you can't
that's
win.
Where it starts.
Nikita, you should have thought about me when you went and had children. And worse than that, you had twins.
When you went and got knocked up.
God.
Way to go. Anyway, so Nikita would be the ghost.
Yes.
She just disappears.
She disappears. Yeah. She's the invisible...
Into thin air.
Drinker.
Yeah.
She's the invisible woman. Okay.
Bridget would be incredibly strong.
She would, oh my gosh, she lifts a car. She mm-hmm. she pushes over a building.
That
incredibly
strong.
Yes, hers is superhuman strength. Mm-hmm. Nikita's is the ability to leave any situation at that moment and disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bridget is strength. Kelly, mm-hmm. I don't know why, but you know in Men in Black, where they hold the thing up and it makes you forget your memory? Mm-hmm. Kelly's infectious giggle makes you forget all sadness.
Oh.
She just starts giggling, and any sadness or bad feeling you've had is now gone. You don't even remember that you had that feeling or what caused it.
And what she does is absorb your sadness, because many times you see Kelly cry. And she's crying and giggling at the same time.
Kelly feels emotions deeply.
Right.
She's incredibly
sensitive.
Now,
you don't feel so bad.
Well, that sounds like a really bad superpower that she helps you and then hurts herself.
She's an empath. That's what they do. She's got whatever it is out of you, and then they use it.
Well, I want her to be released from that pain.
Hey, it's her superpower. Don't be mad at me.
Okay. Lee, rest assured, I will always be mad at you. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, here's one I can't wait to hear from you on. Nua.
Mm. Nua can put anyone into a trance with the most mundane story about automotive parts. You think you've got energy. You think you're focused.
He's the Sandman.
Up walks
Nua. He helps you fall
asleep. And he starts talking about a rear diff. Or a timing chain. An oxygen sensor. So what I've done is I've gone on the internet and I found this part, which is $800, and that part, which is... And you're like, what has happened to my strength? Next thing you know, you've melted into a chair. You no longer want to live.
You have the best sleep of your life. He's the auto body Sandman.
He's the amnesia.
The what?
No, anesthetic. That's what it is.
Yeah, Nua is very, he's a, as you call him, a gearhead. He loves cars, loves it, loves it, loves it. And he's had a couple of things he's had to fix on his car lately. And for him, it would be like me talking about makeup. Like, I could have the same effect on you and Nua if I was like, so this company came out with all these new lip liners, and here's the difference in the shades and the wear time and the so-and-so. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing. It, but yeah. So he the rest of us know nothing about cars. And we're not that into them. So when he has a problem, we're like, oh, I'm sorry about your car. You know, knowing our ignorance on cars, he could say like, yeah, I had to get this part replaced. Hopefully it'll be done in a few days. He launches into this story where then it's just so many words that I begin to feel so dumb. Then I'm overwhelmed. But his superpower could be. Actually, you know what? There is a real market for this. I used to use a sleep app or a meditation app.
Nua talk about
and they parts. Had celebrities record themselves talking about an area of their expertise, but purposefully very boring. Mm-hmm. And it was, they called them sleep stories. One was John McEnroe explaining the rules of tennis. Mm. And
but if it's John McEnroe, he's not going to go.
Oh, he lost his shit all the way through.
In the middle of it. You but gotta be kidding me. Yeah.
So Nua could do this. It's like explain over. It's basically over explaining something. So you get bored and you don't really listen. So then before you know it, you're drifting off to sleep. So it was on, I want to say it was the Calm app, which is one of the most popular meditation apps. And then these are called sleep stories. Mm-hmm. Nua really, so his sleep superpower could be Sandman Sleep Stories, Auto Body Edition.
By the way, this happened to me yesterday, self-sabotage, and I got to figure this out. I don't know why I do it to myself. This is my second cup of coffee, and I am burning up again.
You did that yesterday.
When I have two cups of coffee back-to-back, I start to sweat, and I'm not a big sweater.
Is it from maybe your heart racing, or is it the heat of the coffee?
It's not hot right now. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I'm just sweaty.
Woo! Maybe do decaf on your second cup.
Where am I going to get decaf at this time of day?
At this time of day? You get decaf at any time. Yeah, yesterday we were in studio taping our show, and Lee just kept going, God, is it hot in here? It's hot everywhere to me as I am pregnant. So I'm like, I mean, kind of. Everybody else is like, no, it's fine. Lee is pouring sweat and won't stop complaining. I thought maybe he's the 7-month pregnant one. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, he realizes, well, I've had 3 hot cups of coffee in a row. It wasn't 2 yesterday. It was 3.
Yeah.
And now you've done it again.
By the way, Nua wants to know, would we support him trading his Camaro, the one that's in the shop, for a Corvette?
Again, I know nothing about anything. Well, so I'd be like, what color is that?
I mean, I love a Corvette. Don't get me wrong.
You used to have one.
Yeah. I told him, either get a Camry or I'm not picking you up anymore.
Yeah, because you did have to pick him up today because his car trouble. He did have to have his car towed to get fixed today. So you picked
him
up.
So he can look fantastic as he rides around in his muscle car.
Yeah, it's his passion. Okay, but listen.
He can have one of those, but that shouldn't be his everyday to work vehicle.
Okay, that should be a hot rod right around town, car shows.
Yes.
Open it up on a highway with his friends. What did Jason Aldean say? Fire it up and let them horses sing, run, something. Mm. But you want him to get a utilitarian.
Correct.
Yeah, my brother did that. My brother and his wife had, because they both worked where they live. She had her nice car. He had his really nice truck. Well, then she had to drive 45 minutes every day. She was a nurse at the time. She's now a nurse practitioner. She was a nurse at the time and had to drive to a hospital 45 minutes away, and they didn't want to put all those miles on her nice car or his nice truck.
Can she write you a prescription even though she's in another state?
You know what? I don't know.
I bet not.
I don't know how that works.
I don't either. I was just wondering about that.
But if I'm looking to abuse her medical, sure I should find out.
Right, absolutely. No, it's nice to have a nurse practitioner in the family. I have one.
That's right.
So if, you know, you are sick, you can call
and they'll get do help. Virtual visits they or
can,
things like that.
Yeah, they can do a virtual visit or write your prescription.
Yeah, I wonder if
it's... I mean, not... they can't do... What are they called?
Schedule 2.
They can't do those.
Like pain meds.
I've asked. Can you get me some of the good stuff?
What's a street name for this?
Can you get me some morphine? I've nicked my finger.
That's right. No, but anyway, so they bought a very inexpensive, I want to say, I don't even know what the price point was, but it was like an older sedan, cheap car just for her to drive to work. Mm-hmm. So, but Nua's commute is like 10 minutes. So,
yeah.
I don't know if he wants to do that.
In he was case, going to walk to work with me. I planned on walking to work today. Oh. But that was ruined by the emergency phone call that was placed.
But yeah, Lee told Nua today, because he's had to pick Nua up a couple times lately. He said, if you tell everybody what you said, if he calls another, let's say in the future he calls again because his car's broken down. Because you told him today, dude, just get you a Camry to drive to work. Right. So go ahead. Let's role play the phone call. Nua's car's broken down.
I thought we already said this. Didn't we just talk about this?
Yeah, but you didn't say exactly what you
said. What did I say?
I don't know. Now you've ruined me.
All right. Well, I guess on that
note. No, you said when he calls again, you're going to go, did you get a Toyota Camry? And he'll say no. And you'll say, see you at work. And
hang up. Yeah. That's what I'll say.
That's all I needed you to say.
Well, you said it fine.
Well, I said it better than you could have.
I went and saw Scarlett Johansson last night.
God, does Colin know?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, shoot.
By the way, paid full price for all of it.
You did? So like, wait, the Jurassic,
so it was like 40,
Jurassic World?
$40 for me on a Monday night at 9:40.
$40 for the ticket?
No, I had popcorn. They did upgrade me. I asked for a small, and they gave me a large. I went, girls, this is a small? And they said, they just winked at me.
Yeah, big timer.
Yeah.
Now, were they mutes? So that's why they winked, or?
Well, you can't say it out loud.
Or they were like,
we're breaking the rules here.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
No, that was very lovely. They did that.
And did you get
And then it was me and two other people in there.
Did
that
you
was
get
it.
A Sprite?
I got a Diet Coke.
You got a Diet Coke. For yeah. me, if I'm you at the movies, Sprite. It's the only time I ever get a Sprite. I never drink Sprite ever anywhere elsewhere.
I've had
but a
this.
Sprite with popcorn at the movie theater.
Let me tell you. I don't know why let I me tell you it. This story, then we got to go. I went and saw F1 with Richard and our dates. And
the two mute girls we met at the popcorn stand.
And Richard and his date
sure.
get, the biggest tub of popcorn I have ever seen in my life. It was literally, and I'm extending my arms out like I'm almost to the, it's this
It was
big.
Like a wash tub.
It was you a, ever been a laundry basket.
Yes,
size
yes, yes.
of popcorn. Like, mm-hmm. what in the world? And his date said, it's for us to share, all of us. I said, okay. She goes to the bathroom or to get something else.
Is he dating Alice in Wonderland? Because that voice was so sweet.
Well, that's the way she speaks.
I love it.
And next thing I hear during the trailers, previews.
So she, yeah.
Is the Tasmanian devil just blah, 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 blah. He has dumped the entire thing onto the floor. He went. He put it in her seat, went to reach or grab it, and it slipped, and it has gone. I've never seen so much popcorn.
He basically dumped a 5-gallon drum of popcorn onto the floor.
Yes, and she comes back. She's like, oh, goodness, what happened? And he's like mad, and he's cursing. And anyway.
And then Mary Poppins pulls out another bucket from her carpet.
Now, halfway through the movie, I have that big gulp Diet Coke, which is like 2 gallons.
Yeah.
Some scene
no,
playing.
No.
I grab it with
Don't.
One hand
Don't
and
you.
Somehow my incredible strength, which I wasn't aware, pops the lid and a tsunami of Diet Coke washes over me. I'm on the left side of this other accident. I am soaked.
You guys are worse than teenagers.
Yes. I mean, I am so wet.
Saturated.
Yes. Complete. Like I could have just jumped in a pool and not been any more wet than I was.
I know what you're talking about, where the lid pops off and then the cup kind of collapses. So then it, yeah.
And these girls didn't leave. They stayed with us, even though they're dating two buffoons.
I was going to say, the two women, it's on them that they're choosing to date.
I
you
agree.
Two Butterfinger boys.
Yeah.
Forget the Hardy boys. You two are the Butterfinger boys.
I was so miserable.
And so it was early in the movie?
It was no, that was halfway through, but enough Diet Coke to saturate my loins.
So it's all over your shirt, all over your pants. Were you sitting in a puddle?
Yes.
Oh,
I can feel
way.
It gathering in that little taint area. It's like, oh, I am floating. That's how much it was, because it's like leather seats, so it's
I
just.
I wish I could name this episode, gathering in that little taint area. But I can't.
Say it taint so.
Say it.
There's your title.
There it is.
All right. We got to go.
Where are we going?
Well, we got to eat.
Lunch.
Some point.
I'm always ready to eat.
All right. Thanks
all
for listening.
All Lee has had today is 2 cups of coffee and 3 cupcakes because we had
and an antibiotic.
But I love to celebrate. They were giving him out at the party where I was. No, it's our receptionist BJ's birthday today, who we absolutely adore her. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is her birthday. So she brought in delicious cupcakes.
Yeah.
So we got to go get her a little prize while we're on lunch.
All right.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening. Rate, review, subscribe to this podcast. Also, check out The Lee and Haley Show, our weekday television talk, comedy, entertainment show. Check your local listings. Our home market is Fox 56 in central Kentucky. The big city is Lexington, Kentucky there. So love to have you in our audience. Hang in there. We love you. God loves you. Say it, 'tain't so.